Unlock the past and safeguard your memories with scanmyphotos.com. Here's our special promo code, GODIGITAL, to get a whopping up to 50% off your photo scanning order. Don't let your cherished moments fade away. Digitize them now with precision and care. Whether it's old slides, photos, or films, bring them into the digital age and relive those precious memories. This is an affiliate promotion, meaning we may earn a commission if you take advantage of this fantastic deal. Act fast, preserve your history, and save big with Go Digital at scanmyphotos.com. Hi, I'm Maureen Taylor, the photo detective. I really love family photographs, all of them, from the mystery images you find in shoeboxes and albums to the pictures you snap with your digital devices. No mystery is too small. A simple question about an image can lead to new stories of your ancestors. This means you can count on me to help you identify the people in them, offer solutions for preserving and organizing them, and yes, even guide you in the various ways to gather and share picture stories with your relatives. My guest today is Trevor Matea. And he came to me with a photograph that he found in the attic of his house and wanted to know how to find the people that might be related to it. Is that right, Trevor?
That's right. Yeah. My name is Trevor Matea, and I'm an elementary school teacher. And right now I'm focusing on being a parent to our young son. A few years ago, like a lot of people during the pandemic, we were spending more time at home and exploring new hobbies. And so I got interested in genealogy. And I'm very interested in genealogy, I guess. And we moved into a new house last year. And in exploring the new spaces, I came across an old photo in our attic.
Just an ordinary family photograph. And you came to me and you said, how can I figure out who this guy might be related to so I can return this photograph, thus joining, I just want to say, the world's pandemic hobby, which is... photo and artifact reunion.
It's been fun. And I have an update for you. There was a second reunion as part of all this. But yeah, this photo didn't have a lot of context to it. There was some like junk strewn around in the attic, seemed to be from different time periods, different families that had lived in the house over the course of its life. Our house was built in 1940. And then this photo was in a broken picture frame, no notes on the back. I opened the frame, tried to look for any other clue. It wasn't there along with anything else. And so all I had to go off of was our address, whatever records are available, and the clues that Maureen would be able to find and what we're looking at here.
Well, the first thing I said to you was, when was your house built? And you said 1944. And I said, well, this is a lot older than 1944. So how did it end up in your attic? And who could he be related to?
And we didn't know if this was somebody who lived in the house or a friend or a family member at that time.
Right. So I recommended that you go to City Hall, Town Hall, wherever it is, because you're in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. I live in a suburb of Detroit.
So tell us what you did first.
So after our call, I followed your advice and I called our city assessor office. And the person I spoke with, I must have called immediately after we got off the phone. I found our conversation motivating and inspiring. And unfortunately, what the information the person I spoke with, she shared with me, they only had ownership records for the house going back to the 1990s. And so then what I did was I looked up the house, you know, using a couple of websites that find your census tract. I entered my address into that and I was able to find the name of the family that was living in the house in 1950. And their names were Leroy and Beulah Sharp. And so then I built a family tree for the Sharp, looked into her family. Her maiden name was Gallagher, and they had extended family in Michigan as well as in. And so I built their tree back, and then I built their tree forward. They had a couple of daughters who were teenagers at that. And I was hopeful that I might find some leads through them. In the event that I didn't, I wanted to have a contingency plan. So at the same time, I was trying to find who was owning, who was renting and living in this house in the years since then. So I wasn't sure how long the Sharps had lived in this space. But the house was built in 1940 and they were in the census in 1950. I was able to find phone directory records as early as 1941 showing the Sharps lived there. So then I felt pretty confident that they were the original owners of the home, but I wasn't sure how long they lived there. And it was your inclination. You thought, you know, with the age of the photo, knowing it was a lot older than the 1950s, it would be much more likely that someone who lived in the house in the 40s or 50s would have left this photo behind than someone who moved there in the 80s or 90s. Although anything is possible. Yeah, I want to give you credit for that because you thought, oh, I bet. Start there. And that ended up being a good lead.
So who did he turn out to be?
So his name is William A. Irv, and he sailed ships throughout the Great Lakes. He was someone, yeah. So and he lived sort of an adventurous life. You know, I don't know anyone who commanded vessels, and I didn't know anything about traversing the Great Lakes. And I'm still a little unclear as to the details as to who or what he was transporting that time. But it seems as though he was pretty well regarded in that space. And so the journey from finding the Sharps to finding William A. Irvine or Captain Irvine was the Sharps were living with an older woman in 1950 who was identified as a roomer. I didn't immediately have them in either of their trees. The AI on Ancestry identified her as Mina G. Irvine with a W. And I wasn't able to find anyone with that name or really anyone with Irvine as their name at all. But taking a step away from it, I realized the name must be Irvine or some other more common name. And with Mina G. Irvine, I immediately found who I was looking for. The G, her middle initial is Gallagher, which was Beulah Sharp's maiden name. And I found her and her husband, William. And then his find a grave profile was right there in his hints on Ancestry. I clicked on his find a grave profile and there was the portrait as part of his obituary in the Detroit Free Press. It was right there. And so it all kind of happened right at once. I was like, this is our guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you called the city assessor. They didn't have the records. So you used phone books. You used tax records. Did you
say? I used census records, I think, next. Yeah. And again, I needed to look up my house by its address. And so I wasn't familiar with the way to do that through Ancestry. So there are some people who are more knowledgeable than me that have developed a way for you to put your address in and your various cross streets, and they can find you the section of the census where that house would appear. And so I thumbed through the pages, I looked through the PDF, and then I found it that way. And then I had a name, a lead, and then it ended up being successful.
So, it's great, right? I mean, you tied it all up. But you have to wonder, like, what did Mrs. Irving think? Was she thinking, where's my husband's portrait? Did I leave it behind? And how was she related to the Sharps? Was she just a roomer or was there a relationship?
So Mrs. Sharp was her aunt. And so, yes. And so I had come to, and then getting to know them a little bit, I wanted to know more. And so all the questions that you're saying now are ones I was asking myself. And so Captain Irvine died in 1906. And so we'll assume that this portrait was taken shortly before then. And
then Mina was his. How old was he when he died?
He was in his mid-40s. So he was middle-aged. And then, you know, he had a widow who was just a couple years younger than he was, but who would live into the late 1950s. And so what I gleaned happened is that while the Sharps were living in the home, Mina passed away of old age, and she never remarried, and they did not have any children together. And she's now, I was able to find them at a cemetery in Detroit, and they're buried together along with Irvine's brother and his wife.
Yeah, I mean, I find that all the time. I buy photographs with names on the back, and sometimes I'm just not able to attach them to a family that has descendants. So I think unless you have a genealogy succession plan for your materials, they could end up anywhere. What did you do with the portrait?
So I no longer have the portrait. So what I did was I had the portrait restored. It had some rough edges and a couple of small scratches, but it's remarkable the good condition it was in considering its age. And then, you know, I was going to like frame a version of the picture here in our house. And it's a nice story and it's cool to have him kind of connected to us through the house. And then, yeah, I mean, I kind of reached a dead end. I had found all my newspaper clippings about the Sharps and the Irvines, and I didn't think anything else could come of it. By chance, I was looking at the find a grave profile for Captain Irvine's parents, who were natives of upstate New York. And I noticed the person who was maintaining the profile for his father, he had the same surname. His name was Irvine as well.
Irvine.
And so I sent him a message and I said, is there any, you know, do you happen to be related to these people? Do you have a family connection? And he did. And, you know, he is a distant cousin of William Irvine. And so I forwarded the emails that you and I had sent back and forth. And with that includes kind of my story. I sent him the photos and I said, you know, would you be interested in having this picture? Because he had done extensive family history. I mean, he has a find a grave profile. Like he's someone who's interested, you know, and I didn't think I would find a better fit. And so I offered the photo to him and he was happily accepted. And I sent it to him via UPS in Canada where he lives, you know, within a week or two of that.
And to restore it, you used a group on Reddit.
Yeah, I sort of sourced it out, so to speak. And so I came across a subreddit channel. It's called r/estoration. It reads as restoration. And it's a group of people who are very, very talented restoring old photos with creases and cracks and tears and all of these things. And there was a lot of people interested in restoring this one because I was able to share a little bit of the story. And I think people found the photo very interesting on its own.
The challenge I have with orphan photos and photo reunions are what you addressed, right? You sourced this guy. You wanted to make sure that the home it was going to would be going to someone who was actually interested in genealogy rather than it was just going to end up abandoned again.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then if William and Mina had children, I think I would have pursued that a little bit more. I'm not sure what kind of detective work I would have had to employ, but I knew that they didn't have any children of their own. And so these may not have been his closest living relatives, but I was confident that they were relatively close relatives who were definitely interested in genealogy. And so I knew I'd be putting it into good hands.
Right. So you still have a digital version of the picture. Mm-hmm. You still have a digital version of the picture that's been improved. So if someone listens to the podcast and says, wait a minute, wait, I'm a closer relation than that guy on Find a Grave, you could share it with them as well.
Oh, yes, certainly. In fact, I'm trying to think, I've uploaded the restored version to his Find a Grave profile and William Irvine happens to be in my public ancestry tree as well, as sort of a phantom tree. I'm not sure what the term is, but he and the Gallaghers are floating out there. And if you happen to be descendants of any of their family, I've done a lot of research on your behalf.
So what's next? Do you feel like, I mean, you're interested in genealogy. You said you're looking mm-hmm. for a community of genealogists that you can get involved with locally. And I said I would. Mm-hmm. Definitely try to put you in touch with some folks.
I'm always looking for the next mystery.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the next mystery? Are you going to start going to antique shops and yard sales and pick stuff up and then try to return them?
I'd be open to that. Yeah, I mean, so I find in my experience, one thing has led to another, right? And so what I was most interested initially is like my ancestry DNA ethnicities and like, who are my great-great-grandparents? When did they come to the United States? There's sort of simple questions. And then you kind of go as far as you can go. And then you want to know, well, why did that couple divorce? Or why did they move across the country? Or, you know, what were their religious or political views? You want to know their story. And, you know, then I got into newspapers.com. And now I've gotten to the point where I can get attached to people who aren't my own family, right? Like Irvine. And he was, you know, we're connected to them through the house indirectly. And then this week, I was looking up a family surname on newspapers. And I found a person with a relatively rare name in my mother's family, Fialka, who was written up in the newspaper. And I looked into her and I discovered that she had been taken advantage of by her Catholic priest. And so now I'm researching him. And so in short, I'm taken advantage of financially. He asked her and other parishioners for money. She gave him her life savings. He lost it. He fled cross country. This is in 1890s. And he took on another name and took over other churches. And so I've just been kind of like following him around. And now I kind of wonder, like, what do I do with this information?
You're going to write that up for someone.
And for me, I'm like, wow, this is a compelling story.
You can totally write that up. There are genealogy and historical magazines that would love to have articles. And I will set you up with a full community that you need out there in Michigan.
Great. Well, I appreciate that. It's been a really awesome experience from beginning to end.
Well, I want to thank you for contacting me, because it's always fun when someone says, hey, I have this picture that I found in my house. How can I reconnect it? And people have found photographs everywhere. You found your picture in the attic, which makes a lot of sense, mm-hmm. right? People stick stuff up there that they don't necessarily need a big picture of. And people write to me and say, hey, I have a picture frame and we took the image out and there's another picture underneath. And there's another picture underneath that. Or we're renovating and we took a wall down and there's these photographs that are stuck in the wall. What do we do with them? So it's a very common problem, more common than you would think. And it gives me hope that someone out there will come across a photograph of one of my ancestors that I don't have a picture of. Mm-hmm. My fingers are crossed.
Yeah.
Every day, my fingers are crossed.
I believe it happens. Those things happen.
It does happen. All right.
And that would be my advice as well, is reach out to somebody else and you, I think, will be amazed at what comes of it. And so share your questions and your brick walls with other people.
I think it's definitely worthwhile. Anything else? I mean, your genealogy interests are your family for the most part, and then mysteries that you pick up here and there.
Right, which are, a degree or two removed. And then, once I start into it, it's hard to stop. And so that becomes an open question. Maybe you stop for a while and come back to it later.
There are, I would call them lost, disconnected photographs and artifacts everywhere you look. If you're not familiar with a site called deadfred.com, it is a photo reunion site. And he's been on the podcast a couple of times. I love Joe. And those are just sitting out there passively waiting for people to connect them with family. You can do that without spending a dollar. Mm-hmm. All those images are out there looking for connections. So if you find yourself with some extra time, take a look at Dead Fred and just start with the A's. He's got, I forget how many thousands of photographs on that site. Anyway, Trevor, thank you so much for joining me on The Photo Detective. It's been really fun to talk with you again. I hope we get to meet again for a different mystery. Keep up the work.
I think we will. Thank you.
Keep up the work and keep pursuing the genealogy, because you'll never be bored with it.
Thanks for your time.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media, leave me a rating and a review. And if you know of a friend or family member who's also interested in family photographs, share this episode with them too. See you next time. I'm thrilled to be offering something new. Photo Investigations. These collaborative one-on-one sessions look at your family photos. You and I meet to discuss your mystery images and find out how each clue and hint might contribute to your family history. And trust me, these images can reveal so much in your research. I have decades of experience in the photo, genealogy, and history industries. This is your chance to learn from me and discover the stories in your family images. You can find out more by going to MaureenTaylor.com and clicking on Family Photo Investigations.